Good morning, everyone. Welcome to another Friday morning for us, Breakthrough Academy. We are excited to get underway here. I so love turning up here every Friday and all of our regular commenters, Pastor Christine, Joe Rose. Welcome, guys. If you're a regular, comment. Let us know that you're here. If you're new, let us know that you're here. We also love, we always mention our regulars, yeah. But if this is going to be your first time, we'd love to know. Morning, Judith. Glad you guys could be here. And so we're just excited to get underway. If I haven't introduced myself, I'm Josh, and I'm here with Pastor Peter Lewis.
Hey, everybody. We're from Breakthrough Church here in the eastern part of Melbourne, and it's our pleasure to do Breakthrough Academy, which is teaching for the hungry. People like to dig deep, go into hunger, not deep for the sake of depth, but deep because we want to know God better through His Word and have that build big faith. This logo here, this hand-drawn logo that I've done beautifully, refers to the Bible, which is where all our teaching comes from. It's where, you know, it's where we get to know God through His Word as He opens up our understanding. And then a mountain, because it builds in us mountain-moving faith. And that's what we're here for, not just for an experience. You're not here because you just want to get some information. You're here because you're hungry to know the Word and to know it in a way that empowers your spirit to live and to act it out and to see God glorified through that. So that's what Breakthrough Academy is all about.
Yeah, and I love that for those who can be here live, I'm of course not talking about people who can't do it live, but I love just how hungry each week everyone is for us here to Friday morning.
Yeah.
You know, so all of those that are hungry for the Word on a Friday morning, God sees that, and we love that you're here week in, week out. So we appreciate you.
So let's go straight into the Word of God. Good morning to you, Brooke, and great to have you joining with us. And we appreciate people joining us for us Friday morning, Thursday night.
It's not always Friday morning for everyone.
Yeah, it's Thursday night for many people in the States and places like that. So greetings to you, and for anyone who's watching us later. It's good.
Yeah.
I there's so much teaching you watch and then you rewatch and go back and find and discover.
Yeah, we know that everybody can't watch it live. We understand that. And so if you're watching this again later on, or you're welcome. And we're so glad that you could be here to watch this.
So we're doing a series called Mirror, Mirror, which is taken from the book of James, where he says the Word of God is like a mirror. You look into that, you find out who you are, and then it's a fool that walks away and forgets what he looks like. It says it just does not make sense to look at a mirror, see who you are, and then walk away, and then act totally in a way that doesn't take into account anything you've seen. You suddenly say, oh, that's not me.
What a fool. Would never do that myself.
No, that's right. And so mirror, mirror is this concept of looking in the Word of God, finding out who we are, and getting trained by it. So it's a broad topic, looking at different areas of the mirror, what the mirror says about us. And one of the things that the mirror talks about us is the fact that we're in a fight and that we must learn how to fight. And we took a scripture from the book of Judges. And we'll call it up here. Book of Judges, chapter 3. And verse 2. He left those nations simply because he wanted to teach the subsequent nations of Israelites who had not experienced the earlier battles how to conduct holy war. And each generation needs to learn how to fight.
Yeah.
We appreciate those that have done the fighting before us. We've talked about this in past weeks. You can go back to our website, breakthrough.org.au/academy, or just go to the front page, and there's a option there to watch, and you can pick Breakthrough Academy. You get all our episodes, both the Mirror Mirror and all the other series that we've done. And we talked to this about a few weeks ago about God's so good that we don't have to fight a lot of the battles that others have gone in to fight for us. Our parents have gone in to fight. My mum fought to come into the Pentecostal movement. And, you know, I was in a church where, you know, speaking in tongues was of the devil and so wrong. But my mum, she took a lot of heat. And I can still remember coming to my mum saying, oh, we can't go back to that church anymore. And I thought, why? I got saved in that church. It was a good church. But we'd started going to a Bible study and that was run by a Pentecostal church, and they're talking about speaking in tongues. Yeah. And I was too young to realize that in the sermon that Sunday, the pastor basically said, "We don't want you here. you're not welcome here because you're dabbling in the occult by going to this Pentecostal church." And my mum says, "Oh, we can't go back to that church anymore. We now they've sort of made the choice for us. We need to go wholeheartedly into that." So that's, well, you know, that stuff happens, doesn't it? You know, who would have thought? But my mum had to fight that fight.
Yeah,
you know, I was too young to really even understand what the fight was all about. I just loved the Lord. I just wanted everything He had for me. I didn't understand how that could clash with doctrines and preconceived beliefs system. You know, now praise God, that church, that very church, actually had a bit of a movement, and they started another church that actually became a full-on Pentecostal church. All right, they started a church that gave freedom to that, and that church went on to do it's a powerful church still today. In stuff, God's still able to work and move. And tell you, it's a funny story, you know. So I was about 8 or 9 when that happened, you know. Like, so Mum, I can still remember that. Mum said, "We can't go back to the church anymore. They don't, you know, they've made it clear. Then we're not welcome here.
You're done.
We put a fork in it, we're done." So many years later, I was about 16. And I had a real encounter with God. I'd been, you know, going to church, but by 14, 15, I was in the church, but my eye was on the world. I was like, "Oh, you know, how cool is the world? But I'm too Christian to do it." You know what I mean? I wanted the church, sort of, but I wanted the world. I was hungry for the world, but I couldn't be in the world. And I was like, this awful between the two. Too Christian to enjoy the world, too worldly to enjoy being a Christian.
Yeah.
Just a terrible state of affairs. And I went to this camp and youth camp, and God just got hold of me, and He worked really hard in my heart, and He said, "Now you need to lay hold of this and not just get this freedom, you need to walk in this freedom, you need to get filled." And so we had a real power guy there. I can still remember the last meeting of that camp. We all stood up, and this was early on in the service. It was like a big hall. And it was just an old youth camp. So it was like not the fancy stuff they get today. Old wooden floor and these old wooden boards. These old bench seats. And you just sort of sit there.
Yeah.
And we stood up. And before the preacher got going, I think it was like, you know, but there's been such a move over the last 3 or 4 days. And he said, "Just turn around and pray for each other. Just turn around and pray." And there have been mighty moves of God. So we turned around and I remember it like this. And next minute, I remember them carrying us out about an hour later because they needed to set up for lunch. You know, so they're moving the lunch tables in. So they couldn't leave us there anymore. We're just gone all over the seats. No one catching. And I'm just getting carried out. And it's the glory of God. Anyway, so I came back and encountered and some other friends that I didn't know. Well, there were people I sort of knew, but not very well.
Yeah.
And they became good, strong friends. And we met together and we started this Christian thing. We met every day at school and we'd talk about the things of God. We'd bring in friends and it was one of... And so I decided, because where I was, I couldn't... I'd go to the church, Pentecostal church. But at night, we had to travel back to a country town, Yarrawonga. We couldn't go anywhere. And I thought, you know what? I should go back to that church that, you know, gave us the Left Buddha Fellowship. And just, you know, because I just want to go to church, and this is the best church in the town. So I'll just go. I won't say anything. You know what I mean? I'm 15, 16. Yeah. I'll just go and just be a part of it. And I, after the service, the youth all got around me and they're like, "Oh, you know, that they were hungry and they wanted, you know, they were inquisitive and they wanted to know." And
That's good.
I became part of that youth group, and a number of those out of that youth group in Yarrawonga, you know, there'd be say 15, 20 young youth people. I reckon I did a count. I think over half of them ended in full-time ministry. It was maybe even more. It was like everybody was like, just got so full of God. They went off, did ministry work, missionary work, and pastor work. Even some people, some of them, which were the rat bags. You know how you got the church kids. You know, they're there only because of their parents. The parents are founders and members of the church, and they're rat bags. They're the ones that they don't have 1 foot in the church and 1 foot in the world. They have 3 feet in the church, in the world.
Oh yeah.
And a toe in the church.
They walk into a church. They're not necessarily there.
they're actually outside of the church. They're pursuing hard the things of the world, and funny story. It shows how God works. So the man who ran the Sunday school, who when I was a child went there, and he gave the John 3:16 message, and I got born again under Mr. Trevor Jones. Trevor Jones, shout out to Trevor Jones. He got me saved, right? But he was really he was locked into that church and things of that church, and he had two sons that were they're the rat bags. Yeah, they were the wild ones. That's all right. Church elder, but his kids were pretty rough, and it gave him a lot of grief. So I get kicked out of the church. I get full of the Holy Spirit. I meet this guy in Wangaratta, half an hour's drive away.
Yeah, different place now.
Yes, and Henry Reich, and we get together and we start this Bible thing. He's a Lutheran. So he's a Lutheran. We met with another guy, Ray, who was from the Uniting Church. Together, they all get filled with the Holy Spirit. Mm-hmm. They all get connected with the Pentecost. They get full of God. All right, so things are happening. A couple of years later, we go on. He goes on to study, and he's doing an apprenticeship course. In the apprenticeship course is the son of the guy that got me saved.
Yeah,
the rat bag.
Oh,
he's overdoing an apprenticeship.
Yep.
With Henry.
Yeah.
And Henry leads him to the Lord, gets him come to the God.
Oh, that's awesome.
Gets him full of God. And he goes on to become a minister down here in Melbourne. All right? I'm like, what? What? He's a minister? Like, to me, he's just a rat bag.
He's the rat bag.
But it was...
Yeah.
Trevor Jones got me saved.
Yeah.
I got Henry full of the Holy Spirit. Henry got his son back to the Lord.
Yeah. How good is God in that sense? I was just thinking about it before. That like God doesn't just get us over the line. If he was getting us over the line, he would get us saved.
Yeah.
But he doesn't just get us over the line. He completely like turns our life around gives you the ability to prosper, to have ministry, to be a different person to what you were in like holistically in every sense.
Exactly. It's playing that 4D chess. Yeah. He's working totally in your life, and then he's connecting with you to do other things.
Someone that can be like have maybe a reputation or the appearance of a rat bag, but God sees like such value in that, and he calls that out.
A couple of the I went to another youth group, and there was the other rat bag and it was wild, and he had a Monaro, and I went to another youth camp with this guy, and I got in the back seat of the car, and they're going somewhere. I think they had to drive into town to go to a different hall or a meeting or something like that. I don't know what it was.
Yeah.
So I'm just a young teenager, and they're all old enough to drive. So I'm not old enough, and I'm in the back, with the big... Anyway, he gets down and his Monaro, and he goes on a sports oval, and it's damp. So he's doing donuts all around. Yeah, so it's, he's just not doing the right thing.
Someone would have appreciated that.
Yeah, and when on the sad day when they turn up the ground. Yeah, so I'm just saying he was. That's my memory of him. And then years later, I lost track. I went moved and he moved. That's all I remember of him. He was in the church, but he was not of the church.
Yeah.
And then, can someone give me the name of the big church that's out in the western suburbs here, Enjoy Church? The pastor of Enjoy Church, Malcolm. I can't remember his name. The pastor of Enjoy Church started with great church. They've got a number of other churches they've started. Done a great work. God, he's so passionate for God. Loves God. That's this guy.
Oh wow! Because I've really only heard about it over the radio.
Yeah.
So that's that guy.
that's a pastor. He went up to I think he was in Wangaratta or Albury somewhere.
Yeah.
I think he was up in that.
He used to enjoy donuts on the oval. Yeah. Now he enjoys church.
Yeah, he's still a passionate guy. Shane Baxter. There you go, Pastor Shane Baxter.
Yep.
So I heard that Shane Baxter was Pastor of Enjoy. I thought it must be a different Shane Baxter. But I heard his story many years later.
Yeah.
And when he was a young man, after youth, after met him. He'd gone up and he was very sick in a hospital bed, I think Albury or Northern New South Wales, Northern Victoria. And he said he had a real encounter with Jesus.
Yeah.
He had a real encounter with Jesus.
That's so good.
And now he's the most passionate, full on, a real bloke, a real guy, you know, still loves his motorbikes. I don't think he does donuts. I can't even be guaranteed that he doesn't do donuts. But he loves God, loves, you know the things of sport and cars, but he more than that, he's just totally full on sold out for God, and he
lit
church. So how good is God? Gets hold of the rat bags.
Yeah.
Anyway, so this church that we're in, and that started off, I was fine, but my mum was like, she fought that battle for us. She had to go through the heat. She had to hold the, you know, a good attitude. She had to help lead us through. She, you know. There was no resentment. There was no anger. There was no, blow this, you know, church, you know, if this is what they're going to do, let's get.
Yeah.
She walked us through this. She connected me in. She made sure that we loved God. She kept in prayer for me. I remember when I had this encounter at the youth camp, I actually said to God, God, why? You know, because he'd sort of, before the youth camp, he'd reached out to me, and then the youth camp was like the fulfillment, you know, that's when it just blew up and went ballistic, you know, and never been the same since. And I said, God, why? Why did you go after me like this? And he said, the prayers of your mother and the prayers of your pastor. Mm-hmm. So
that's so good.
And I'm like, well, thank you, pastor, and thank you, mum.
Yeah.
And so they did the fighting for me. They fought.
Yeah.
But each generation has got to learn how to fight. I can't just rely, thank you, mum, thank you, pastor. Thank you, Pastor Gary Watts for going into battle for me and being faithful in that and learning how to do the things we're going to learn today, that they learn how to use their weapons and learn how to intercede and learn how to stand fast. My mum learned how to hold fast through the trials and the tests of what we've been challenged with and break through.
Yeah,
and I enjoyed the benefit of it. I didn't have to do that. I was sort of, you know, I was the one following in the slipstream, you know. I was enjoying it. But there comes a time when I've got to learn to fight, okay? Because there's new battles now. Now we can take new ground.
Yeah.
You've got to stand on the ground that has been taken and then push further. Because, you know, pray every movement of God, you know, at one point of time, being baptized was like, I've been baptized in water. It was like a huge fight, you know. And now we're like, everyone gets baptized in water in terms of immersion. It's not a thing. That's not an issue. You know, speaking in tongues was like a huge fight. But now, you know, there's churches and charismatic churches and people that are Pentecostal in all churches that have a Pentecostal experience. And it's not longer seen as of the devil and things like that. You know, we pushed through those barriers and the word of faith, which was just given such a hard time. But now you can see whilst there's still battles and there's still people that oppose that and there's still people that get upset by it, it's a much more widespread and it's in a lot more areas. And I've heard some great teachings on faith and provision but haven't come out of what I would say is the word of faith teachers. They've come out of others who have just been impacted by it and now they're bringing it to their sphere. So every great revelation that we so freely enjoy has at some point someone's had to break through and push through. Well, now it's our job to take what God has given us and push into our generation and to take this into our community. And there's battles that we have to fight. So we have to learn how to fight because as good as what you've been given, now it's your chance. And you have to... he wanted to teach the subsequent generations of Israel. So you've got to learn, it's something you've got to learn how to fight. You've got to learn how to stand. God's not teaching them how to fight in terms of how to hold a sword and how to hold a shield and say, this is how to fight. No, it's how to fight trusting in God.
Yeah.
That's how Israel won their battles. It was because as long as they were doing what God had called them to, as long as they were cleansing themselves of the idols and trusting fully in God. It's like, you know, you see it when Moses is up on the mountain, as long as he held the staff up, they prevailed. When the staff came down, they didn't win. You know, there's a supernatural connection here you know, like with Ai, it was only a small town that they had to conquer, but they got beaten. Why? Because there was sin in the camp.
Yeah.
This is a spiritual war. This is not based on how good a warrior you are.
Yeah.
This is the, and then it comes to one of the, probably the greatest examples of this is David, who fought and under the anointing and the empowerment of God, and he overcame a giant who he said, you know, he's just a youth, and yet he's fighting a seasoned warrior who's a mighty mountain of a man in full armor, and yet he takes him down and say, oh, he was a good shot with a sling. No, that should never have happened.
Yeah.
That should never have happened. There had to be a moment of a lapse in Goliath, you know, Goliath would have been used to facing people with bows and arrows and with slings, and now that was a common weapon. It wasn't as if I've never seen this before,
yeah.
You know. And he would have seen him. He would have seen him,
yeah,
swinging the sling around. He knew what was happening. It wasn't just out of nowhere. He was like, David's like this. Goliath is looking at him. Something in him made him careless or reckless, or blocked his understanding, or he just, all he had to do was hold the shield up. That's what he normally, just bang, you know. He can stop a stone. It's a powerful stone, but he's got a big shield. And yet, somehow, he didn't do what he would normally do. And then David, so you think, oh, David's amazing skill. No, something of God connected with that, and with a sling, you know, and Goliath was mocking him, like, you're coming at me like I'm a dog with sticks and a stone. He said, you know, I can handle warriors. I can handle a group of warriors coming with swords and spears and bows and arrows. And you think you can beat me with a stone? And suddenly, and it just hit him.
It hit him.
He's sort of like,
that's the story.
This is how.
Yeah.
Most people don't see this, but in the original Hebrew, this I have the what David was actually saying to him, because it says, get this into your thick skull.
Yeah. You uncircumcised.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. I don't think he really said that. That's just me. All right.
Yeah.
He said, understand this. Get this into your head. Bang. There was a supernatural element to that. There's a supernatural, and so we got to learn. So learning to fight was not how to use our weapons, but it was how to use the weapons under the anointing and grace of God. So, okay, you've got weapons. You've got, our weapons are not carnal. They're mighty through God. All right, let's have a look at 2 Corinthians chapter 10. I'm not necessarily going to teach on this, but says we live as human beings. We do not wage war according to human standards, for the weapons of our warfare are not human weapons, but are made powerful by God for tearing down strongholds. Not necessarily going to dive into this, but I just want to ask, our weapons are not natural weapons.
Yeah.
But they're mighty through God.
Yes.
Now, what are our weapons? Our weapons become the things that we say and the things that we do. So they're connected with our actions.
Mm.
But this, the way that God wanted the children of Israel, the Hebrews, the children of Israel to not just, it's not the fact that they can be learn how to use a sword. It's how to use a sword under the anointing and ability of God.
Yeah.
Okay?
Yes.
It's not you learning how to speak. It's you learning how to speak under the anointing and ability of God.
Yeah, that's really good.
All right? It's not less you learning how to praise. Because I can say, okay, praise is our weapon. And so that's good. Yeah, but the same as I can say a sword is the weapon, but it's what is going into the praise which actually makes it powerful.
Yeah.
It's the ability to trust God and use our praise as a weapon. It's not you can't learn the techniques of, it's not the techniques of praise that'll make you powerful. It wasn't the handling of the sword that made them powerful, even though they had to learn how to use a sword. Do you know what I mean? They trained and they equipped. They had to actually use a sword. They at one point it says one of the warriors of David, I think he was in a field of lentil field, and it says he fought till the sword cleft to his hand. In other words, the sword and his hand became joined.
Yeah, it was one.
Because his muscles all just locked up.
Yeah.
And he was like, couldn't even put the sword down. It was just became, so he's using a sword, but under a powerful anointing that enabled him to kill multiple soldiers. Mm. So it wasn't the sword, but he had to use a sword.
Yes.
All right? It's not your praise, but you have to use praise.
That's good.
All right? It's not your words, but you have to use words. It's not you can't... okay, an example of this. I can see you use the words, and so I'll use exactly the same words and get the same victory. No, because if you're releasing faith through your words and I'm just echoing your words, it's not the same.
Just words.
The same as David had a sword. I said, well, I've got a sword.
Yeah.
No, David used the sword, but he yielded his life to the Lord. Because when he was facing Goliath, remember he said, the battle is not mine. Mm. The battle is the Lord's.
The battle is Lord's, yeah.
This is the Lord's battle. This is not my fight. This is God's fight. But here I am. I'm in the middle of it, and I'm swinging the sling. But it's not my fight. It's God's battle. And that's the key. It's God's battle, but we're in the middle of it.
Yeah.
And we've got to learn how to use our weapons under a grace and under anointing. So I want to say, what weapons do we use? And who are we fighting? We talked about a few weeks ago, you go back. Often we get confused. We're fighting the devil, but it's actually a problem with the flesh. And we're trying to fight the flesh, but it's actually a problem with the devil. And you've got to understand, what strongholds and what you're facing there. While there's overlap, and the things of the flesh are to do with the things of the world. The mm-hmm. things of the world are because it's under the kingdom of Satan.
Yeah.
So there is there's a connection there. I might have a problem with the flesh. Is that connected to the devil? Yes, it is, because it's the flesh is engaged in the lifestyle of his world, and his world is under the authority of him, and he's brought that spirit into there, and I'm embracing and drinking of that spirit. So my flesh is connected to the devil. But sometimes I got to realize I'm not actually trying to cast the devil out. I'm trying to deal with a flesh issue, that a problem in my character and nature that I've got to overcome by the work of the grace of the cross.
Great.
And but other times I'm battling something, and it's like, actually there's actually a demonic stronghold here. Deal with this. You're dealing with a problem in your town. Yes, you're dealing with real problems of homelessness or broken families or drug abuse. Yeah, but then there's spiritual authorities that are controlling and manipulating and working. And so sometimes you say, hey, we need to actually target these. Jesus said, you don't go into a home and overcome until you've sort of locked the strong man. You bind the strong man and then you plunder his goods.
Yeah, all right? So you got to know what is the fight here.
Yeah.
If it's one or the other, what are we homing in on here? Because once you know what the fight is, then you can appropriately fight that.
That's right. I love what Brooke just said then. When I have a revelation, suddenly I have a powerful weapon. Otherwise, I'll just be trying to act on the faith of those around me.
Mm.
Yeah. And revelation is one of these things. It turns these things. And then we know who to target and where to target and how to use our weapons. So part of this
That's
is...
good.
So now one of the things that is going to be... Like I said, these are not weapons that are human, in the sense of they're not weapons you can handle and see. They're going to hurt the enemy.
Yeah.
These are weapons that are in the spirit realm, but they come through natural things. We're connected with God. So we're going to just talk about one of the key things that God uses as part of anything that he's doing in some way will involve this. All right, so I want us to turn to Psalm 146. Okay, five Psalms, 146 through to 150, the last five Psalms. In one sense, these Psalms are, some people would say this is what all Psalms are like. If you said to people, what do you have in the Psalms? Oh, just people praising the Lord. Yeah, sometimes it is thinking of these last five Psalms as being all 150. But other Psalms, it's... not just praise the Lord, praise the Lord, praise the Lord.
Mm.
It's a lot about what I'm going through, the anguish that I'm feeling, or where's God when I need him, what's happening. Psalms are very varied. Very varied. Psalms speak to all aspects of life, not just to the high points of praise, but also when you're in going through real struggles. Lord, they're trying to kill me. I'm going to just hold on to you. Lord, Psalms is a wonderful book because it does encapsulate all the life that we go through. But sometimes people just think Psalms are songs of praise. No, they're songs to God.
Well, some of them came out of like gritty situations.
Exactly. Yeah, that's a way of good putting it. They come out of real situations and real struggles, and you have the psalmist angst, and sometimes sometimes it's like, oh God, I'm going through a struggle, but I turn to you and everything turns out all right.
Yeah.
Okay, that's a good psalm. Look, I don't mind the grittiness because the second half of the testimony is okay. Yeah. Imagine if you had someone come up and give a testimony at church and say, so we've got the preacher in, he's come from, he's come all the way from Europe to give us a testimony about, God's work. And so he gets up and he says, when I was a child, I went through these struggles and then I ended up in a life of crime and people were attacking me and they, thank you all, good night. And like, hey, and I say, wait.
Is that the end?
Where's it? Oh, he said, where was God? I thought God had left me. I thought I was totally alone. I know I'd been I'd been introduced to God as a child, but now I felt, God, where are you? Where are you? Thank you. Good night. No, that's not where you leave it. Testimonies do not finish there. Testimonies are, I don't mind you telling me all the bad stuff because then you have this moment where you have the epiphany and you get the revelation and then you turn and then God comes in and cleanses it all. Well, there's a psalm that doesn't finish right. And I actually did teaching. Maybe we can put it a reference to it. The psalm I would have rejected. All right. I did a teaching. And what do you do with these when it doesn't fit neatly into the box of, everything I want? And God's all good with it. I'm like, God, you let that one slip. Anyway, I won't teach on it because you can go and maybe we'll put a link to it. Someone can find that. The psalm that the psalm I would have rejected.
Yeah.
If my song leader had come to me and said, here's a song I've written, I was like, we're not going to sing this. To be honest, I wouldn't have let us sing it on a Sunday.
Yeah.
And it made me think, that's interesting. God put it in his songbook. And yeah. I would have rejected it thing. But so the Psalms are, they've got a lot. There's a lot of depth in the Psalms.
Yeah.
And there's actually prophetic things in the Psalms. This is the most amazing thing. Psalms became more than just praise. They became prophetic voices. In the book of Hebrews, it quotes a lot of Old Testament scriptures to talk about the new covenant that we're coming into. And this whole new phase that God has given, walking through the old covenant, which was just that placeholder, that shadow before the new covenant, which was always his plan. And so Hebrews refers to scripture after scripture to build the case. It's a very logical process. The book of Hebrews is wonderful. It starts in chapter 1, which shouldn't be that amazing, but it starts the logical process in chapter 1 and then builds upon that. And each truth is then built upon in subsequent chapters and times. It's amazing, and it takes Melchizedek and it talks about how what his role is and how this works with God and our priesthood according to Melchizedek. Because Jesus is our great high priest, and we all say that, and we say that's wonderful, but did you realize that Jesus was not qualified to be a priest? Why was Jesus not qualified to be a priest?
He wasn't, is it because he wasn't the line of...
Yeah, Levi. He was of the line of the tribe of Judah.
Yeah.
Jesus was from the line of the tribe of Judah. The people from Judah weren't the priests. All right, we think, that doesn't matter. It does matter a lot. In the Old Testament, he would not be qualified. He would not qualify as a priest. So how could God take him and make him a priest that would be the high priest that would bring that sacrifice? He provides the sacrifice and he provides the priesthood. It's just amazing. Jesus is all these pictures that you see is in him. And how do we understand that? Where does that teaching come from? Well, the book of Hebrews is quoting Psalms. It's David's Psalms which are getting the revelation that enabled teaching.
Yeah.
And so Psalms became a place of not just praising God, but where revelation flowed and prophetic vision flowed and an understanding of what God had planned for the nations. And so it's pretty powerful. So in these Psalms, it's more than just let's all clap our hands and get happy.
Yeah.
There's real issues that they face. And thank you. Well done to whoever's on the Team Breakthrough there that's got that message up there. So you can go. Don't watch it now. Watch it later. The psalm I would have rejected. you can go watch that. This is a short. It's one of my shorter messages.
All your messages are shorter messages.
Yeah, well, they're shorter than other messages. They're shorter than some. Yeah, they're shorter than a day. They're a lot shorter than a day, so they're very short messages.
Shorter than 2 hours.
Yeah, they're shorter than a month. So we come to Psalm 146. And I want you to look at Psalm 146, 147, 148, 149, 150. They're all linked together. They're all boxed together, yep. a little box sets of Psalms. They all start and finish with the same phrase. All right? So and it gives them the name. Psalm 146, praise the Lord. Praise the Lord, O my soul. And it finishes with praise the Lord. Very last line. Praise the Lord. Guess what? Psalm 147, praise the Lord. Finishes with, guess what, Josh?
Praise
the Lord. Psalm 148, praise the Lord. Guess what it finishes with?
Praise
the Lord. Psalm 149, praise the Lord. Finishes with, praise the Lord. Psalm 150, praise the Lord. And guess what it finishes with?
Praise
ye the Lord. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah.
It's an old song.
Praise ye the Lord. Put up give me a shout or a thumbs up or something if you remember that song. They finish with praise ye the Lord.
Yeah.
And then the ladies are singing, praise ye the Lord. Hallelujah. Praise
ye the Lord.
Hallelujah. Anyone remember that song? The old classic. That was a classic Pentecostal song. I learned that in the Pentecostal church.
Yes.
Praise ye the Lord. Hallelujah. Praise ye the Lord. Now the funny thing is, if we go, so we went. Let's
singing a psalm.
Let's go to Psalm 148, verse 1. Praise the Lord. Let's look at the translations. This praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Holman Bible. Hallelujah. The Jewish Bible. Hallelujah with a Y, not a J. Praise ye the Lord. Hallelujah. Message Bible. Hallelujah, Passion Translation. Why are they doing that? What, praise ye Yah, Young's literal translation. That's because if we go and look at the actual word for praise ye the Lord, it's two words. Trying to work out where I'm going to take this from. Let's get taking the King James one. Okay, so the first word for praise is a verb meaning to praise, halal, to commend, to boast, to shine.
Mm-hmm.
To shine could almost mean to shout.
Yeah.
So there's a bit of exuberance with this.
Yeah.
And the word most often means praise, and it's associated with the ministry of the Levites who praise God morning and evening. All creation always yours to join in. So we're going to praise, halal. What does that sound like? Halal, halal. And what the next word is praise ye the Lord. And that's the shortened form of Yahweh. It's just like, you know, my name is Peter,
praise
but
Yahweh.
People also call me Pete. I don't say, that's not my name. Your name is?
Joshua.
Ah, but if they call you Josh, you don't say, that's not my name.
No.
His name is Yahweh. And if you call him Yah, that's also his name. All right. So Yahweh.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
Praise.
Remember, hallelujah, halal, halal, Yah. Halal, Yah, hallelujah. If I speak in Hebrew and I say halal, Yah, and then in English, hallelujah, we made it one word.
Mm.
It's just we've combined that as a single word. You know, we do that, you know, loving kindness is two words put together. So that's not a problem just to combine words into one. And so we've got hallelujah, which is praise Yah.
Mm.
Exuberantly, wholeheartedly, give him a shout, praise Yah.
That's good.
Praise Yah. So when we say hallelujah, we're actually saying praise Yah.
Mm.
Hallelujah. But the trouble is, when we say hallelujah, people just think it's just a phrase that means something you say in church.
It's a church language.
Yeah, and often they don't even realize they're saying the name of God in it.
Yeah.
All right, you can't. For instance, you can't say hallelujah to another god because it's praise Yahweh.
Yeah.
It's actually linked to...
It's his name.
It's his name. It's not just praise, it's praise Yah.
Yeah.
Praise Yah. So everywhere that you see praise the Lord is hallelujah. 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 And then, so if you go back to the reason I picked Psalm 148 is because it says praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. From the sky. Praise him. Hallel in the heavens. Praise him. All his angels. So let's just praise him. Halal. So this is not now, this is a Cole meaning him. Oh, that's not what I wanted. Praise. Need a Jay to be here. So shout out to Jay. He's improving, doing better. He's up and about, but he's still not yet been given permission to weight bear. I believe his bones are knitting together so well. His foot's looking great. But he's moon boot 24 hours a day.
Yeah.
So give him a shout. Appreciate him watching on and being a part of this. We miss you, Jay.
Yes.
And we miss you when I'm doing this and
fumbling here and
it reminds me of Jay a little bit, actually. Right? So yeah, Jay, look forward to being back.
No, we're definitely looking forward.
The three
to
Three Amigos. Keep and just play. Just be praying for Jay for that. That and pray for him for the strength because it's, sometimes it's okay. You just sit all day. No, he doesn't. He's got to be up and about, moving, and he's on crutches everything becomes a bit of you've got to fight to do everything. Everything you think in the past, I'll just go to the bathroom. Now it's I've got to get up, I've got to, use that. And he's put a lot of pressure on his arms and stuff. So just pray for the grace of God to get through this period. And while that's happening, for the peace of God to be working and knitting together all his bones,
amen,
fully healed. And his tendon all put back together. Praise him, all his angels. So halal, all his angels. Halal him, his heavenly assembly. Halal him, O sun and moon. Halal him, O you shining star. So this is halal, halal, halal. And then it's, halal, 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 yah. Hallelujah. So that's why a lot of translations is use praise the Lord, because it's praise, 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 praise. And then why would we then just change it into hallelujah? But it's one of those ones where that Hebrew word has become a part of what we do. And so we do, it's a word that we can use in our English language, but sadly I think we've lost the meaning of it. So when we're saying hallelujah, we're not thinking, to us it's just the word hallelujah, we're not thinking about what it actually means.
Yeah,
and
just of a statement.
Sorry?
Just like a bit of a statement. Hallelujah.
Yeah, hallelujah. It's just a word that just means something you say in church. You would never say hallelujah anywhere else because it's just a church word.
Yeah.
Now, to be honest, you wouldn't say it anywhere else because it's praise to Yah. But the word halal, you would say in the Hebrew, if you're praising man, it's a word that just means praise.
Mm.
All right? We're praising Yah. So first thing I want you to do is whenever you're saying hallelujah, say it with a greater depth. And just realize I'm saying shout and praise and exuberantly give my praise to Yah. I want to just give him and it's focused on him. All right, so we have these five psalms which are all known as the hallelujah psalms. All right, that's one, that's one way you could describe them, is the hallelujah psalms, because they're all about praising the Lord, praising the Lord, praising the Lord. And you can use them as a great way, if you're looking for something just to get yourself excited, well, just begin to sing these psalms. Begin to use these psalms and read them and get, and like Brooke said, you get a revelation, read it, get a revelation, and then let that psalm.
That's
and
good.
I'll praise you here and I'll praise you there. And then right in the middle of it, or some in the middle, some as far as Psalm 149 is in the middle. Not quite in the middle for all those people that are, that's not the middle. But amongst it, not at the ends, is Psalm 149. And first of all, let's just look at Psalm 147. it starts with something really interesting. It says, praise Yahweh, for it is good to sing praises to our God. Mm. When I say good there, you know, something can be good. Oh, that's good. I remembered to bring a bottle of water today. You say, oh, that's good. You know, it would say that's good.
Yeah.
Yeah, it is good. I did remember to bring a bottle of water, which is good. But there's another sense of good. If I said, Josh, I'm looking for this particular tool. How many know what a nut and bolt is? You know, a bolt is like a thing with a thread on it, and you need a nut, and the nut goes on the thread. How many know you can't just put any nut on any bolt? It's got to be both the right size to fit and also the same type of thread.
Yep.
You know, for anyone who doesn't know, there's bolts that have metric thread and imperial thread and different size threads. So it's not only the size of the bolt, the diameter of the bolt, but it's also got to have the matching thread.
Yeah.
Now, in my garage, I've got some containers which are nuts and bolts which are matched. But then I also have another container with lots of old nuts and bolts from all old projects, and they're all just thrown in there together. All right, because you never know whether you're going to need one of these. I've got that. You never know. And so in there it goes. And so sometimes when I'm looking for something, I pull this box out, and it's literally a box of this size, about this deep, and it's full of stuff that's been collected over years. And in there's some bolts and there's nuts. All right? And so imagine, Josh, you and me are saying, this bolt is going to be perfect, but what do I need? Not just the bolt, I need the right nut.
Yes.
All right, so we're going through and I'm handing them to you. No. And then I hear Josh saying, this one is good. This one is good. Now, he's not saying all the others are bad because they won't work. They're just not right.
Yeah.
Okay?
Yeah, that's
they're
right.
They're bad because they don't fit. They're bad because they're not a match.
Yeah.
Not because there's anything wrong with them, but they're just not. But this one is good because this one is a perfect match for this. This is what it was created for.
Yeah.
This is what it's designed for.
Its purpose.
Its purpose is to be on here, and it works perfectly. This one is good. Praise the Lord, for it is good for Josh to praise the Lord.
Yeah.
It's good. When Josh praises the Lord,
right.
It's good. It's just right. It's just where it's just where he's meant to be, just where he's found his purpose and his calling. When we praise the Lord, first of all, it is actually what we are designed for, to connect. When you can connect in praise, you will find that this is what we are built for. It's right for us.
Yeah.
It's good for us. We're in a very good place. Now, and remember, I'm not saying just saying the words or singing along on a chorus. I'm not just saying on a Sunday when we're singing choruses, it's what you were made for. No, I'm talking about when you connect with revelation and you are praising Yah and you are ministering to the Lord and you're giving him glory and it's out of revelation and he's responding with his revelation overflow. That's good. You say this is exactly right. And how many can put up your hand and say, yeah, I've been in prayer. I've had prayer sessions like that where I just felt this is it's exactly right. I'm just so right at the moment.
Yeah.
Has anyone ever felt that where you just feel I'm just good?
It's like you're doing that and in that moment or that time, everything in the world is right.
Yeah, exactly.
Everything is okay.
Yeah.
Because you're doing what you were created, what you were designed for, like in that groove.
It's just so good. Exactly. You're just in your groove. You're just where you need to be. You're just connecting just where you're at. And that's the sort of praise we're aiming at, all right? This is the sort of praise we're talking about. This praise becomes a weapon, all right? So when I say praise, I'm not just talking about singing a song or saying things. I'm talking about when you get in that groove and you are praising God. So what does that praise look like and what does it occur? Because Psalm 149 leads us into something. It says, and I was reading one of the commentaries on this earlier, and they're like, this psalm does their head in. Okay, you know how I had a psalm that didn't, they didn't fit.
Yeah.
All right. They said the second half of this psalm went like, what's it doing here?
It's out of place.
It's out of place. It doesn't
fit.
It appears to be. It's jarring because it's not what you were speaking. Psalm 146, praise the Lord, praise the Lord. Psalm 147, 148, 149. And they're praising. And the first half of Psalm 149, praising. And then in verse 5, something happens. It says, let the godly rejoice because of their vindication. Let them shout for joy upon their beds. May the praises of God be in their mouth and a two-edged sword in their hands. What is this sword turning up in this praise?
Yeah.
In order to take revenge on the nations and punish foreigners. They bind their kings in chains and their nobles in iron shackles and execute judgment to which their enemies have been sentenced. All his loyal followers will be vindicated. Praise Yahweh. So we know it fits because it's in the hallelujah. But it's about bringing justice and enforcing God's righteousness and bringing others under control. They bind their kings in chains. And they put their nobles, their rulers and leaders in iron shackles. What is happening? You know, this is
taking a different tone.
It's really interesting. This, if we go back to the verse 1 of this, praise Yahweh, sing to the Lord a new song. Sing to Yahweh a new song. Praise him in the assembly of the godly. I just want us to look at that phrase. Oh, there's lots here to unpack, so we're gonna take our time here.
We'll
praise Yahweh, sing to Yahweh a new song. Mm. All right, a new song. I've always worked at this one aspect of this new song, which is a song that hasn't been sung before. If you sang it, you know, we're gonna sing that new song.
A song that hasn't been heard.
Yeah, and I understand a new song can be new for a little while. We're gonna sing the new song, then we've been singing it for 3 weeks, but it's still a new song.
Yeah.
You know, I understand it's gonna be brand new, but it's new in terms of it's different to the old ones.
Yeah.
All right, that's one aspect of a new song. It's a song that is fresh and new, and we sing songs like that, and I encourage you, not just when the musicians are leading us in a new song, but I encourage everyone to sing songs that are new.
Yeah.
You're out of your heart, your revelation. You say, well, I can't write a song. Yes, you can. You can just sing a praise song, and you say, well, I'm not sure I could do it. I can't lead to people. Well, it says here, and his praise in the congregation or the assembly of the godly. It's okay. When we get together, we're praising him. And sometimes we do that. We're praising the Lord, and then we're given an opportunity. They'll keep playing the instruments, but it gives us an opportunity to put our own words and our own expression. That's a good way for a new song. But it also says, verse 5, let the godly rejoice because they've vindicated. Let them shout for joy or sing for joy on their beds. So that's talking about when you're by yourself.
Yeah.
So it says in the assembly of the godly, and when you're by yourself alone, you still praise the Lord. So you can sing a brand new song to the Lord just by yourself. And I encourage you to do that on purpose. I encourage you to sit down and just and give God room and expression to praise and remember the halal, which is not just hallelujah. Give him expression. You say, well, I can't do that. Well, find somewhere where you can. You know, sometimes if you're driving by yourself, hey, you can get loud.
That's
because,
the best
time. You know, wind the windows down or up, depending on how much of an extrovert you are. And, you know, I remember once I heard a guy, and he said, you know, he just had the best time just going. He was on a riverboat, and it was going down the river, which is where riverboats go. Not surprising there. But he went up, and he was up on the top deck. And there's this little section where it was like the engine, everything was so noisy. And so up there, you can hardly hear yourself. So he just went to town. He's just praising the Lord and going. He said it wasn't until later that he realized that it was no one there could hear because of the noise. But if you're on the bank, his voice and the engine were the same. So all the people on the bank of the river could hear him going down the river, praising the Lord.
Oh, that's funny.
So find a place where you can give expression to it. You need that. You need that. You need places where you can just let loose. All right? You need to find places, make spaces for that so that you can just get there. Now, even if you can't go top of your breath, you know what I mean? You might have other people in the home and you can't sort of do, but get somewhere where you can at least give expression. And you can praise the Lord and you can sing and you can wave your hands around and you can dance because it says, you know, in Where is it? Verse 3 here. Let them praise his name with dancing. Let them sing praises in the company of the tambourine and the harp. You say, well, I can't play instruments. Oh, yes, you can. You can play your hands. You can, listen, I encourage people. If no one's in the house, get a saucepan and a wooden spoon. And just make some noise, make your own rhythms.
Made a cymbal.
Yeah, just make something. Why? And just say, God, I'm just being exuberant here. I'm just giving you some praise. It's good if I've got a guitar and I know how to play it. But if I don't know how to play an instrument, I'm gonna use something. I'm gonna do something.
Yeah.
I can clap, and you know, I can shake. You know, go grab a can of beans and, you know, like dry, you know, like corn or something, dry corn, and give it a shake. You know, make a shaker. You know, and just in your home, you say, because why? Because I just want to give exuberant praise, and I can dance about, and I want to sing the revelation, and I want to sing new songs to the Lord. So a new song, I want to give the Lord a new song, and I'm going to sing a brand new song about how good He is to me. And no one, and when I'm doing that, it's just right. God says, oh, that fits. That's the best song for you. That comes. You say, well, this doesn't work for them. No, it doesn't. But you're the. Listen, can I say you're the nut and you just fit exactly right, all right?
Yeah.
You're the correct nut for this job, okay? If you say, I'm the good nut. I'm just the good nut for this very purpose. I can praise him and you can release. But you need to have time. Can I tell you something I've learned from experience? If you do this, the Holy Spirit will love to get involved.
Mm.
The Holy Spirit actually, he's like, yeah. It's like, I was made for this. Say, what? Remember when they were... the Holy Spirit came. The very first time the Holy Spirit came in the New Testament, in terms of the outpouring in the Spirit for the New Testament church, let's just look there. Acts chapter 2.
Because we're in academy, we...
Yeah, just take the time.
Take the time.
Because we're hungry. We're going to do this. So they're all there, and they're... suddenly a sound like a violent wind came down from heaven and filled the entire house where they were sitting, and tongues spreading out like a fire appeared to them and came to rest on each one of them. And all of them were filled with the Holy Spirit, and they began to speak in other languages, and the Holy Spirit enabled them. Yeah. Oh, actually, I just saw a good comment for Christine. Be your own cheerleader.
Yeah.
You know, because I was going to speak on this, and it was... I didn't know I was going to speak on this. It was something that was just... And I thought, I'm just gonna do it this morning. And it was actually like a cheer. Give me, you know, da da da, you know, like I've never been to the American sport, but I've seen enough on TV, you know, and the old Brady Bunch where they all become with the pom poms and give me a J, give me an E, give me S U S. Who are we gonna serve? Jesus.
Yeah.
Anyway, so I just was starting to praise God, and it came out like a chant, like a cheerleader chant. And I'm just cheering, and I'm not going to tell you what I was cheering about because it was me and God, and it was perfect. And but it was just a praise to God, and it was revelation. It was things I hadn't thought of before, and praising God. So yeah, you can get up and give God a cheer, and just let something a creative flow from you. And so they were all filled with the Holy Spirit, began to speak in other languages. The Spirit enabled them. So Holy Spirit comes on you, Josh. First time. No one. This, you know, Jesus has spoken about it. He said, I'll tell you one of the things you're going to do. You're going to heal the sick. You'll lay hands, and you'll speak with new tongues. Like, wow, what is that all about? Just trust me. It's going to happen. All right. So Holy Spirit comes on you. This is not something they've experienced before.
Yeah.
Jesus did not speak in tongues. Well, not. I can't say definitively he didn't. You know, people say, can you prove it? No, but you know, it never says he did. And there's no indication he did. Do you know what I mean? But I'm not saying he didn't come and say, I'm speaking in tongues and you guys are going to do this. This was like to them something new.
Mm.
Something. So the Holy Spirit comes on them. So this is the moment the Holy Spirit's been waiting for.
Yeah.
I get the impression this is what he's my
like,
time.
Release me.
Yeah, my time. And I'm going to exalt Jesus. And I'm going to glorify Jesus as the Spirit of Jesus. I'm going to magnify Jesus. So he comes into you, Josh, and he gets hold of you. And this is the very first thing. And he says, hang on. Wind and fire and rah, and then you're speaking languages you've never learned.
Yeah.
What does he get you to say? What does he get you to say in that moment? He says, I'm the Holy Spirit and I fill Josh. All right. I've come to fill Josh, and this is my moment now to come.
Yeah.
And the Spirit of Pentecost, and everyone's going to remember this is the time when we all got filled with the Holy Spirit. So everybody get filled with the Holy Spirit, because look what it says. It tells us what. It says, because both Jews and proselytes, Cretans and Arabs, we hear them speaking in our own languages about the great deeds God has done.
That's awesome.
What was he sharing? He wasn't even saying, come and get saved. He was not saying, come and do this, come be part of the New Testament. He was saying, how awesome is God? I'll tell you, let's get them speaking about the great things that God has done, the great deeds. He's like magnifying God. That's so the Holy Spirit gets hold of you. All right? So think about this. Yeah, give me a J. The Holy Spirit, I was just sort of trying to make it up on their own, and some of my letters, I couldn't think of a word. They were pretty awful, but they were fun and they were full of revelation.
I've had like a time like that when I've been doing like a new song and I've gone and done something. I'm like, well, that actually doesn't really work. Yeah. Or it sounds funny, but you understand, and then just keep going. You know what I mean? You know what I mean?
And I can't remember what I was doing. At one point, I was like the word, "Give me give me an O, O for." Oh, what a great God we've got. It was like pretty cheap, But hey, that was what we do. Now, okay, I want you to think about this. The Holy Spirit comes on you. How many here have been baptized in the Holy Spirit, filled with the Holy Spirit, and you have the ability to speak in tongues? God comes on you, who speaks in tongues. You know, we do this. Mm. All right. He comes the first time he gets this opportunity. He gets them all filled. They're all speaking loud because people can hear them. And he says, oh, I'm going to speak out of them the praises of God. I'm going to glorify God. He comes upon you. He gives you the ability to speak in tongues. And then you just, thank you. Holy Spirit's like, what's this? I know I'm speaking. I know I'm getting to speak. Holy Spirit, let's intercede for this. Holy Spirit's like, oh, can we do a bit of that praise stuff?
Yeah.
Why can you imagine the Holy Spirit wants to give expression to that?
Yeah.
He wants to fill you. So you say, get your hands up and begin, God, Holy Spirit, give me the best praises for God. Talk about some of the most amazing things of God that I haven't thought of.
Mm.
All right?
Yeah.
Okay, the great deeds of God. He knows the great deeds of God. And Holy Spirit loves it. I remember one time I was doing this and I said, I'm speaking to myself. I should do this more because it's a wonderful thing. And and I'm thinking, Holy Spirit, give me some stuff to say. Tell me some things show me some things that I can be praising you. And I'm praising. And he says, and basically, I'm paraphrasing now because it was like, Jesus is so awesome. And I'm like, Holy Spirit, Jesus, he says, I think Jesus is amazing. And I'm like,
yeah, that's good.
So, it hadn't stopped. He said, Jesus left heaven to come down for you guys.
Yeah.
Jesus left heaven to come down. Jesus did this. And he began to talk about Jesus. And it was obviously the Holy Spirit thought Jesus was just amazing. And it's like the Godhead, there's no jealousy.
Yeah.
There's no, oh, he's pretty good, but I'm the Holy Spirit.
Like the biggest hype man, you know?
Yeah.
Like you have a mate that's always going to hype you. Like, yeah.
He was like, oh, it's just, don't worry about me. Just think about him.
Yeah.
Because he's just amazing. And it was not like, it's my this is what came to me. It wasn't like, it's my job to praise Jesus. No, it just was his absolute, he thought Jesus was amazing. And he thinks God's amazing.
Yeah.
And he thinks that the works are, so when he's doing this, it's not like his job. It's, he gets it. He actually understands how amazing God is and how wonderful these deeds are and how much they show the chesed, love, the mercy of God, the goodness of God coming in. And he's like, so let the Holy Spirit fill your praise.
Yeah.
Ask him, give me revelation. Let my praise be fresh and new. So we came back. This has all come back from because of Psalm 149. Verse 1. Says, sing to the Lord a new song. Ask the Holy Spirit to give you a brand new praise song to the Lord. I'm not saying you've got to write it down and send it off to Brandon Lake and say, beat this, you little trout sniffer. This is the best song ever.
Goes for you.
Yeah, this is no. Or get this published straight away. I'm not talking about it's got to become so. It's got to become. You've got to be the nut. You've got to be just do it just right. It's got to be the best praise song, and the best, and it can come out of this revelation, and you can see how good God is, and you can see how amazing God is, and you ask the Holy Spirit, Holy Spirit, can you help me sing and sing through me a new song?
Yeah.
So you sing in tongues, and then it says you sing in the understanding.
Yeah.
We sing in tongues, we sing in the understanding. Let the Holy Spirit fill you so that you can get in agreement and say, awesome. And then you might end up singing a cheer, or you might send, you know, it might be a bit different. But just let the Holy Spirit. Why is that so amazing? And then, okay, remember verse 5, it says, verse 6, it says a two-edged sword. So all this is, I'm leaning to the fact, this type of praise becomes effective.
Yeah.
All right? But we don't do it just to be effective. Understand? Yeah. We do it to praise God.
Yeah.
All right? This is wholehearted praise to God. But in the midst of that praise, something is happening.
Yeah.
All right? So praise in the assembly of the godly. This is a really interesting phrase here. Assembly means, you know, the gathering, the congregation, that's... But the godly... the word for God in the Bible is El, or Elohim. Elohim is the plural, the big, you know, Elohim and El. So El Shaddai is, you know, God. This, you know,
yeah.
And it's anytime you see the word El, it just means God.
Mm.
But it's like the English word God. It can be used talking about the God or false gods.
Mm-hmm.
You know, the false gods, the false Elohim. So it's just the Hebrew word for God. So whenever I see the word here, the assembly of the godly, I assume that it's talking about some El something, or, you know, Elohim or something. You know, it's something to do with it. But the word there has got nothing to do with God. I've experienced the same thing for some reason in the New Testament, in the Greek, when it says, you know, we should be godly.
Mm.
The word godly doesn't have the word theos or God in it. Nothing. It's not to do with God. It's funny that the word godly in both the Hebrew and the Greek don't actually have God in it.
Yeah.
But it throws me off. I'm thinking. It makes me think something.
Yeah.
All right.
Yeah.
So I've got. So actually, let's see what some of the other translations use, so, because that might give us a bit of a clue. Assembly of the Godly One, Assembly of the Godly, Assembly of the Faithful. Okay, so moved away from the word godly to faithful. King James, in the Congregation of the Saints.
Mm-hmm.
All His people. Faithful. Message by the company of all who love Him. All right.
Yeah.
That all His holy people will hear how wonderful He is. Assembly of His faithful people, assembly of saints. So you can see, it, the more of it goes on, they move away from the godly because it's it locks you into a sort of a thing. So what is this word that says, who are we? Because it's important, because this psalm, verse 1, let me go back. Verse 1, in the assembly of the godly, it's whatever it is.
Yep.
Verse 5, let the godly rejoice. Yeah. There it is again, in the middle. And then at the very end, all His loyal followers will be vindicated. interesting, that's the same word. Loyal, but they've decided to put loyal followers. just to confuse things. It's the same word.
Yeah, okay.
And the reason I think that's not great form to translate it differently, I think the psalmist, it ties up verse 1, verse 5, verse 9. It ties the psalm together.
Yeah.
This phrase is, this is the psalm. This psalm is for these godly ones, or as it point here, is loyal followers.
Yeah.
But is the saints, you know, all the other translators, this is for them. This is their psalm. Now, I mention that because this psalm is for them. What did this psalm do that was different from all the other psalms that had the hallelujah? This one went into warfare.
Yeah.
This one went somewhere, it went a bit different. So this song for the godly ones takes us not just praising God, but doing something different.
It's for the godly ones to do
this. Yeah. So there's something about, so the godly ones who praise God, it is good and it is right, but they then move into a new realm. So who are these godly ones? So let's just go back to verse 1. Let's see if we can get a translation here. We'll get it from the King James. Praise ye the Lord. They call it saints. Hasid, an adjective meaning kind, benevolent, merciful, pious. The word carries the essential idea of the faithful kindness and piety that springs from mercy. It's used of the Lord twice, so it talks about God, his holiness in the sense that his works are beyond reproach, and wants to declare his tender mercy. Other occurrences of this word usually refer to those who reflect the character of God in their actions or personality. The word denotes those who share a personal relationship with the Lord, the state of one who fully trusts in God, those who manifest the goodness or mercy of God in their conduct. More importantly, though, it signifies the nature of those who are specifically set apart by God to be examples and mediators of his goodness and his fidelity. It's, if I can go back, try this. So I'm just looking for a particular thing here. Excuse me while I find it, because I want to show it. Okay, here we go. From the Brown Driver Briggs definition, Kasid. Some of these concepts struck out to me. It's faithful, kind, godly, holy one, saint. Remember chesed, this great chesed word, which is we've talked about in the past, this great Hebrew word which means loyal love. And it describes God in such a powerful way that his love for us is full of compassion and yet righteous loyalty. You know, it's just this amazing mix.
Yeah.
This word is related from another Hebrew word, which is the word chasad. All right? Which is related to chesed, which again is coming down, and doesn't show it on this study, but from the same family root as chesed. All right, it's just one. There is another step.
Yeah,
I'm not sure why. Without me sort of scrolling through and finding the different dictionaries, but this word is of the family of chesed, loyal love. That's why if we go back into it, you will see. It's important because the concept of faithful kindness, the word carries the essential idea of faithful kindness, loyal love. Yeah. It's in there. It's we're the people that demonstrate his loyal love.
Yeah, that's good.
We're the ones that show the kindness and grace of God. We are this people. We are the Hasid. Showing the chesed of God is us. We're the one that demonstrate this. So we're going to praise God. Who? The people that show God's love and his loyalty and his faith. We're that people. We are that one. He's worked it in us and we are now demonstrating. This people, what do this people do? This people praise God. This people praise God. And they sing to God a new song. Okay, brand new, fresh out of us, a fresh nut. But the word new can have another understanding, and there's sometimes it's hard to tell which one they're talking about, but maybe both.
Yeah.
All right, singing a new song to the Lord. If I said to you, sing a new song, we automatically think something that hasn't been sung before. But if I said, sing a song of the new, what does that mean? It's when it's sing a song, and it's about the new. Sing about that which is new.
Mm.
Sing about that which is new. It hasn't been done before. Sing about that which has brought a change. Josh, you might have, I'm not saying that. I mean, you're a sinner. I'm going to sing a new song to you. The song is about the new you.
Yeah.
The new you. The new the you that's not part of your past. It's now part of your future.
Mm.
I'm singing the song of the new.
Yeah, that's good.
I'm singing a new song. I'm not singing a song about, because in the old, we certainly sing about God's goodness and good, but we're talking about the old in terms of the old us that we want to get rid of.
Yeah.
The old thing that wasn't under God. I'm singing of the new. I'm going to sing a new song, a song of the new Josh, of the new walk and the new covenant and the new power. So this is like a song of the new covenant. This is a song of what God's going to do, the new God. This is a song of, and when you sing, so God, Josh, this is the new me, and this is me, the new life I'm living, the new things, and I'm singing God, I'm praising Him. And as I'm praising Him, I'm singing of the new. What do we encounter? But we encounter the kings of that place, which is our new place. We encounter that which is resisting the new. They're holding back the new. But I'm praising God and I'm singing of the new. And I'm singing, and when there is things holding back the new, I pull them into irons. It says, let the godly one, let the Hesed rejoice because of their vindication. Let them shout for joy upon their beds. They're excited because may the praises of God be in their mouths and a two-edged sword in their hands. Mm. In order to take revenge on the nations and bring God's judgment. Now, God has worked His judgment out on the cross. It's been dealt with. The enemy has been punished. God says in 2 Corinthians, He's led forth His enemies in triumph. He's conquered them. He's overcome them. He's and we are singing that song.
Yes.
We are declaring, look what you've done, Lord. They bind their kings in chains and their nobles in iron shackles. I'm singing a new song and I'm praising Him and I'm glorifying Him and I'm going into new territory and I'm going into the new place that God has given me because I'm singing about all the new stuff God has for me and I'm doing it with exuberance and it's just right. And as I do that, my praises are binding and pulling down the enemy and stopping him from having the effect in that place that I'm singing of. My praises are pulling him down.
Yeah. That's
and cool. I'm praising him. And I'm executing judgment to which their enemies have been sentenced. And all his hesed, I don't know how to pronounce it, but all his hesed will be vindicated. Hallelujah!
That's amazing.
That's where it praise Yahweh.
That's good.
Hallelujah. So that's why it's like, what is this psalm? It's this psalm has taken this people called the Hesed, the three times, the loyal, faithful one.
Yeah.
See how it says his loyal followers. It's trying to, that's who they are. But it's not just saying I'm loyal followers, because I think that's half of it. But the other half is his loyalty and his work is in me, and I'm just an expression of that.
Yeah,
I'm a mirror. I'm a mirror.
That's
I'm an
good.
Expression. I see who I am.
Yeah.
In that mirror, I see who I am, and I'm beginning to praise God, and my praises release that, and it binds the enemy and enables me to do the victory. So that's why praising the Lord and singing and ministering is so good. It's because it's who you are. First of all, you know, don't just do it to hurt the enemy.
Yeah.
You do it because it's who you are. It's right. You go back to Psalm 147. Let's just go back there. Praise the Lord, because we didn't go on to the next verses. Praise the Lord, for it is good to sing praises to our God. Yes, praise is pleasant and appropriate.
Mm.
Those words, it's right.
It's rightful place.
It's you, Josh, you never look better than when you're praising God. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
It's just right for you. You're pleasant. You're good to look at. You're good to be around. It's just so right when you are praising God. Praise Yahweh, for it is good to sing praises to God. Yes, praise is pleasant and appropriate. It's just so right for you. It just so fits you. You're looking sharp.
It looks good on you.
When you are wearing praise, you go, whoa, look at Josh, you're looking sharp. Those clothes are made for you. That is who you are. Praise. So that's why we praise, because it's who we are and it's what we do. But whilst we praise as the Hesed, as the loyal ones, the saints, the followers of God, and that's why it says godly ones, and I don't think godly ones really does it justice.
Yeah.
It's like godly ones, it doesn't make, well, what is it saying? It's saying we are reflecting God.
Yeah.
That's why it says godly.
Yeah.
All right. But it's really that we're expressing the loyal, faithful kindness of God. We're expressing His character and His mercy. And I believe that is connected. We are actually expressing the chesed, of God that has come, it's come to us, it's now coming through us, and we're now the Hasad. We are the ones that are ministering to the Lord. And as we do that, what do? We start singing a new song. We start singing the song of the what's new, what's coming up, what hasn't been seen before, what God has for us, this new day. This is the day the Lord has made. And we used to sing that day. So like there was one song, if you ever, did one old song earlier, and now there's another one. If you ever went to a Christian meeting, which was a gathering of multiple denominations, the song leader would get up the front and you could bank it in. He would sing, this is the day, this is the day that the Lord has. Why? Because everybody knew that. Everybody, I think people came out of the womb singing that in Christian families because it was just like built into you. Everybody knew. There was one song everybody knew. This is way before internet, before you had songs that you could go cross denominations and things like that. But every denomination, for some reason, this is the day was the song we sang. So it was, this is the day that the Lord has made, that the Lord has made. We will rejoice.
That was the song that was pleasant and appropriate. Yeah, we will rejoice
and be glad in it, for this is the day that the Lord has. Now, and I used to sing, oh, this is what a wonderful 24-hour day. This is amazing. This today, growing up saying, this is the day. Thank you, Lord, for this day. And it's good to thank God for the day.
Yeah.
And then one day it dawned on me, day also means the era.
Yeah.
All right. We live in the day. We live in the day of technology.
Yeah.
That's not Wednesday. English summer was on a Tuesday. I understand that sort of day. But you know, when I say we live in the day of technology, I'm not talking about a 24-hour period. I'm talking about an era. This is the day that the Lord has made. We are in the era of the new covenant.
Yeah.
This is the day. This is the day. Not this 24-hour day. We're in a new day. This is the day. We're singing. We were singing the new song. We were singing the new song. We're in the day that the Lord has made. We will rejoice and be glad that this is the day. This is the day. But that song should have a second verse where we start to push into that day.
Yeah.
Where we sing to the new day and we sing and we bind the kings and we bind the rulers and we pull them down and we say this is the day that this the Lord has made and this is our new day and we're praising God and our praises are pulling the enemy down. Yeah. We sing that song with a guitar in one hand. Well, it's probably hard to play a guitar with one. With a tambourine in one hand and a sword in the other hand.
Yeah.
It's a song that is sung as a fighting song.
Two-edged.
This is the day. Praise the Lord. This is a new song for the new day, for the new era that we're in, the new covenant that God has got. And you can make it for you. This is the new day for you. Okay, you're gonna sing a new song. What does a new song look like? Well, I sing about the new things God has planned for me. Yeah. I sing about the new things that God has ahead of me because it's all part of what God is. And I get so excited and I'm praising Him and I'm singing about His goodness and I'm singing about His greatness. And as I'm singing about that, I'm not just declaring what great things He has done and I'm declaring what great things He has done that it was now going to be manifest in the things that I am doing and moving forward in me. And I'm going to see the newness in that. And as we sing this song creates a place, that's where we do our warfare. We sing to God, but the enemy gets pushed back.
Yeah.
Okay, we sing to God, but it restricts it. Our weapons are not carnal, they're not human, they're not in the flesh. They are mighty through God. So our voice and our hands and our dance and our feet all become a part of God's weapon. But what do we need to do? We need to be wholehearted. Let's go back to Psalm 146. Praise Yahweh, or hallelujah, hallelujah. Oh my soul, I will praise you as long as I live. I will say, out of my soul, out of my innermost being. You know, and you got to just give Him everything out of your soul. Let it come from the deep inside you and praise Him. So sing a new song, new words, new expression, be the nut. But then let your newness sing about what God has done on this new day and this new chapter and this new phase and what God has. Part of that newness is we are in the new covenant. That's part of it. Part of it is what God's got for you personally that is new. Sing a new song to the Lord. Sing a song about the new things that God has for you. Because why? We have the confidence in the God who's great, and we do this as the Hasad, the faithful, loyal ones that reflect His mercy and goodness. That is one of the keys to us being fighting. That's how we fight. That's how we fight our battles.
Yeah.
You know, and that's how we do it. We praise the Lord. We do it exuberantly. And the Holy Spirit would love to get involved in that. He loves the expression that. He loves to worship. So, you know, so how do you think the Holy Spirit loves it when you wait 7 days between doing it? So you got to wait to go to church on Sunday. And then you rock in. And then you're thinking about how the car's not doing great mileage on the way over here and it's got a bit of a noise. And so you spend the first 2 minutes thinking, I should get that car looked at. And then while you're doing it, you're clapping your hands and you're still singing the songs, you know, da 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 da.
I gotta get that car looked at.
Yeah, I'm about to get that car looked at. Da da da. And, you know, do I need to do it before I go to lunch? Yeah, where are we going for lunch? Should send someone a text. Are we going to such and such for lunch? Let's get back in the song, praise the Lord. How many know you're really not doing much warfare with that?
It's really not connecting.
No, it's just words. It's like, I've got the sword, I've got the sword. Just because you've got the sword, you're not going to fight the battles. And just because, and many times Israelites actually got killed holding a sword. How could that happen? Because they weren't in faith. They went whenever there was, they were trying to do it in their own strength.
Yeah.
When they were making a mess of things. It was not the sword. It was not the sword. It was the power of God that was coming through. You can sing a song. It's not the song. It's not the hand clapping. It's not the hand wave. You can have your hands up. You can even dance. I'm saying give wholehearted expression and let it become a nut of just right. This is just right.
Yeah.
When that happens, it becomes a powerful weapon that God uses.
That's good.
And it's becomes a two-edged sword in your hand for executing judgment on the unrighteous and bringing forth what God wants. And, you know, when it talks about vindication, judgment, it's talking about God getting his way.
Yeah.
The right thing being done.
Yeah, that's
the,
right.
The right thing being done. In the new is all about the right thing being done. God's will being established and enforced.
Justice being served.
Yeah, this is, and, you know, not my vengeance, but this is talking about God getting his way and what he wants in the earth. And so that's the new thing that I'm entering into. All right, so that is, that's our... How do we train up the new generation? Well, we train them up with this power of using praise, but using praise in this. And if you want to say, well, you know, where do I start? You just go back and start at Psalm 146. Just read through these. Sing these. Sing Psalm 146 to Psalm 150. They're not long psalms. And use them and let them become an expression of your praise. And think about all the things that that's praising and. Sing to the Lord with thanksgiving. Sing praise of God on the lyre, who covers the heavens with clouds, who provides rain for the earth, who makes grass to grow in the mountains, gives to the beast its food and the young ravens which cry. You think, start thinking about those things. How good is God to make these provisions? You know, praise him and give him exuberance and get caught up and ask the Holy Spirit, just anoint this.
Start somewhere and just follow it.
Yeah. You know,
Might necessarily matter where you start, as long as you know.
Yeah.
Start there and follow that, and the Holy, as you just said, the Holy Spirit will get right amongst that.
Yep. Yeah. The Holy Spirit. That's actually why I came.
Yeah.
When I first came here to anoint, it's not to. This is the day. The Holy Spirit. Oh man.
Or to speak quietly in tongues.
Yeah. The Holy Spirit. That's now. You know, I'm not saying you can't speak quietly in tongues. Don't.
What does he mean by that?
You know exactly what I mean, and don't try and get around. So go and
we
start.
We heard him say.
Yeah, start with Psalm 146. You got five psalms there of the Hallelujah psalms. And then you in Psalm 149. This is the psalm for the Halal people. All right, the Halal people. This is Halal's not the right word there. Whatever that Greek word, the Hebrew word is, I'm getting myself confused. It's connected with chesed. That's us. That's us.
Yeah.
That's who we are. That's our that's our thing. And you go and enjoy that. Make that part of your praise. Because when you look in the mirror, that's what it's telling you who you are.
Yeah.
This is you.
And you touched on it before. Find a space where you can do that.
Yeah.
You know, if you drive a car and you're by yourself, that's a great place.
Yeah.
You know, Like, focus on your driving, but also
Watch and pray. But yeah, just give expression, do something, give freedom to that, because it's good for you, and the Holy Spirit will be able to minister through you, make it wonderful, and make it just so right. And he will be able to bind and push back things that the enemy is trying to do through those praises.
Yeah, that's good.
Hallelujah. It will have effect and open up a window for you in that place. All right, well, God bless you. I'm going to leave, we'll leave this running. If anyone's got any comments, we'll leave it for 3 minutes or 4 minutes. We can put some comments in there. But be blessed. We look forward to seeing you next Friday.
Looking forward to it.
And either online, or thank you for those that joined us personally and here. It's always a lot of fun. God bless you. See you next.